This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show from our flagship station in Buffalo. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Anaheim curling back just inside the line. Lundestrom. Knocked off the puck by Alex Tuck. He might have a break here. He's got power with him. Alex Tuck, power! Oh, it can't beat Gibson. Puck is still loose. Yes. Shot scores! Late on the play, Yuri Kulik with the overtime winner. And Buffalo come back from a 2-0 deficit to win it 3-2 with 59.4 seconds left in the OT.
The game winner there, Yuri Kulik wins it for Buffalo, and as Dan said, a two-goal deficit. The Sabres come back to win in overtime. That's the goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. As was the story the other night in Los Angeles, a big night from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. While the Sabres came back, continuous big saves. Another one here from UPL Annette.
Gets it back again. Minchikov in front. Great save by Luukkonen on Kalorin, who found himself a good spot in the bumper. Another save by Luukkonen. Minchikov in the high slot. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Luukkonen faced 24 shots, made 22 saves. A couple of them right there. We're going to call those our saves of the game. Brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. All right, 3-2, Sabres win it. Kulik from Tuck and Power, 4-minute mark of the overtime, getting it done, and the Sabres are now 2-for-2 on this road trip that'll finish tomorrow in San Jose at 8 p.m. Paul Hamilton in 30 seconds, but our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. The shots in the overtime, 4-0, favor of the Sabres. 33-24 overall in the game. In the Nets, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in the win, 22 saves. John Gibson takes the loss. He faced 33 shots and made 30 saves. Your Dynabrade.com power play update, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. Both teams 0-for-2 on the power play as the Sabres getting it done tonight from the Honda Center, winning by a score of 3-2. A couple of other individual stats. Yuri Kulik's fourth shot of the night went in for the game winner. Jason Zucker, 4 shots. Rasmus Dahlin, 4 shots. J.J. Paterka, 4 shots as the Sabres get it done tonight here in overtime. All right, let's get Paul Hamilton in now. Paul, the Sabres found a way down 2-0 while their goaltender kept them alive. They got two goals late in the second and then win it in OT. And this team has to be feeling pretty good about themselves now with two straight wins.
Well, I've been harping that, the Sabres only have one loser point all year. And with about 12 minutes left in the period, I commented that, all right, you got to come out of here with points. You know, I don't mean to sit back, but I mean, make sure you don't give the puck away and make dumb plays and take stupid penalties and the whole thing. You know, get this thing where somehow you get points out of this game. They got two. And that's the point I think Lindy Ruff has made, too. Get it to overtime, and let's now go for the second point. You've got your 1 point. Now let's go for the second point. And that's exactly what they did. And both teams had a couple of opportunities in overtime. I mean, before Kulik scored, Power got stopped on a 2-on-0. And then, but all three players just kept at it. You know, look at what Tuck did after they stopped on the 2-on-0. He takes out his man, and that allows Kulik to swoop in and score the game-winning goal. You know, but, you know, look at the work Tuck puts in. First of all, to make Zellweger turn the puck over and then lead the 2-on-0, get it over to Power. Great save by Gibson, but nobody stopped. Power didn't say, oh, my God, I can't believe I didn't score there. Or Tuck didn't say, I can't believe we didn't score there. They just keep going. And then it allows Kulik to swoop in, and you give him that chance. He's not missing.
Paul, for Kulik, we know, obviously, you know, he's in and out of the lineup this year. An opportunity, though, to maybe keep his position. I mean, you and I were sitting here after two talking about Jack Quinn hasn't been able to score. I thought Quinn was very active tonight. Had even a couple of shots in overtime, just couldn't get his goal, but it's Kulik who gets his goal. We know, you know, if he's going to be a big part of this organization going forward, it's because he can put the puck in the net. So it's got to be a big confidence booster, I'm sure, for him.
Yeah, it's only his second game in the NHL playing center, and I thought he did a nice job. And Lindy Ruff showing him confidence that he's going to play him in overtime. You know, it's like, you've deserved it. Like, get out there and let's see what you can do. You know, you know, lo and behold, look what happened. So, yeah, it's just one of those things where I just like the work that they put in. You mentioned Quinn. I think this game by far was Quinn's best game. I don't even think it was close. So, you know, good for him. You know, now let's see if he can build on that. He finally, and that's why Lindy Ruff's a coach and I'm not, because if I was the coach, Quinn wouldn't have played this game. I would have just said, you've had enough opportunity. I'm going to give Roseanne an opportunity. Lindy Ruff said, nope, I'm going to stay with this guy. I'm going to let him play out of it. And look at the game he had. I mean, you could make a case of you making him one of the three stars if you wanted to. He played that well in the game. But, you know, Kulik, Dahlin, and Gibson wound up with the stars. I'm somewhat puzzled by that. Dahlin was fine. I'm not saying he had a bad game. I know he played 26-15, had four shots, but he also missed the net six times. And I don't know. I don't understand that, but that's fine. I'm getting sidetracked here. But, yeah, it's, you know, Power gets three assists in the game and leads the NHL in even strength points for a defenseman with 15. If you just would ask me off the top of my head without looking it up, I would have said, no way. That's not right. Mm-hmm. It's right. He leads the NHL in defenseman even strength points.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, he's been getting it done. We talked about Dahlin's points racking up. By the way, his point streak ended tonight. He did not get a point, but Power assisting on all three goals. He's got three more there. He's obviously adding to his nice offensive start here to the season. Paul, how about just a thought on Luukkonen tonight going into tomorrow? We talked on pregame. Would Lindy Ruff think about maybe pushing him? Well, you said if he faces between 20 and 25 shots and maybe doesn't, you know, get pushed too hard here, that maybe you'd think about it. Well, you had that scenario played out. He had 23 in L.A. the other night. He had 24 tonight. At least on paper, it opens up the door maybe to have that discussion here as we think about that game tomorrow night in San Jose. Do you have a different feeling than maybe what you did on the postgame or on the pregame show?
No, if I'm Lindy Ruff on the plane, Mike Bales, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and myself are going to sit down and have a conversation. And I'm going to ask Ukko how he feels, and I'm going to leave it to him. I'm going to say, what do you think? Can you go tomorrow and play at this level, high level? I know he can climb a net, but can you play at this high level? How do you feel? And if he tells me yes and can convince me, he's in the net. It's as simple as that. That's how I would handle it. But we'll see how Lindy Ruff handles it.
Yeah. We know James Reimer would be the option. Devin Levi, of course, reminding everybody he's down with Rochester. And Paul also, too, as we talk about the injury report, there's a, well, I don't want to say a certainty, but what did Lindy Ruff say? Hope that the Sabres will also have their best goal scorer back tomorrow with Tage Thompson.
Yeah, they hope they are. And by the way, I would be asking Mike Bales, too. I mean, Mike Bales has played in this league. You know, he'd be not just sitting there. He would be in on the conversation. I'd want to know what he thinks about it, too. So, I'm sorry, what was your question?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, good. Oh, about having Thompson back tomorrow, that could also be a nice spark.
Yeah.
Especially you're going back to back, so some of these guys might not have, you know, as fresh a legs. You could get a very fresh Tage Thompson back beyond the fact of his fresh legs. We know his goal scoring ability could come into play.
I love it. It's 12:49 in the morning and neither one of us know what the question is. Anyway, we figured it out.
We did.
Would be nice for them. I mean, here they are 3-1 without their top goal scorer. And when he scored that 11th goal before he left that game, he was the leading goal scorer in the National Hockey League. He no longer is, but he was no longer by the end of the game because Caulfield caught him in the game. But still, I mean, they certainly can use him. You know what? They switched the lines. I like that Krebs, Cousin, and Benson line a lot. I thought they really, you know, showed a lot. And Quinn, Kulik, and Paterka, I thought that line showed a lot too. You know, so those were the two lines I really liked. McLeod and Zucker and Tuck were okay. I like the other two lines better, to be quite honest with you. And somebody said to me that they thought on the first Sabre goal that originally went to Krebs, they thought it was Tuck's goal. It is. Tuck now unassisted on the first Buffalo goal. But somebody wrote that to me like right off the bat and thought, well, I think that's Tuck's goal. It was one person, and they are right. Tuck now gets credit for the goal unassisted at 18:37 of the second period.
All right. Kudos to that listener right there. Alex Tuck is sixth. That got the scoring started. And then, of course, Zucker, 50 seconds later, no scoring in the third, and the Sabres get the overtime goal with Kulik at the four-minute mark from Tuck and Power, his second of the year, to win it by a score of 3-2. And Paul, the Sabres lost this game. We might have been sitting here lamenting of how maybe they weren't able to finish that 2-on-0 opportunity with Tuck and Power, but they stayed with it on that play. They kept with it, and Kulik's crashing there and eventually got to it. So what maybe would have been a negative, they still end up finishing off that rush with a goal. So I guess we don't have to have that conversation.
But you know what? It's all hard-working goals, whether it's Krebs, whether it's Tuck. The puck was laying there in the crease. And the Sabres did what was necessary to get it to the back of the net. I mean, they weren't going to be denied. And look at the nice play that Power makes defensively on the next goal. And quickly up the ice, there goes Zucker. He's gone. You know, and he scores. Look at the overtime goal, which we've already talked about. and the hard work by the three players on the ice, Power, Tuck, and Kulik. So, you know, that's the thing. If you're going to come back from a two-goal deficit that you went down 2-0 at 14:07 of the second period and you're going to come back from it and win the hockey game, you have to be working hard. And I thought they were working hard. And, you know, hard work sometimes helps cover up some mistakes and that type of thing. And here they are now. Some people may not realize they are over 500 for the first time all season. And it took them going on a 6-2 run. They've won six of their last eight. And they here we are at November 23rd, are back in eighth place in the conference in the playoffs. They have passed the Bruins and are back into eighth place as far as the standings go. They're tied with the Bruins with 21 points. Now they're only four behind the Rangers, although the Rangers have two games in hand. Tampa Bay now will have two games in hand on the Sabres, but Buffalo only trails Tampa Bay by 1 point for third place in the Atlantic Division. So, and it's, I think I did mention it to you in the pregame. If I didn't, I'll say it again. Brayton said earlier when we were filling in on Sabres Live, he looked it up. Since 2005-2006 season, the teams that are in the playoff positions on Thanksgiving Day have made the playoffs 77% of the time. 77%. And
well, now you already
rolls around next Thursday.
Yeah. Now you have me intrigued to see. All right, you already said the Sabres could pass Tampa. Who do they play tomorrow? Well, they play Dallas. All right, that game's at 7. Good. I'll be keeping an eye on that while we do pregame tomorrow. Dallas is good. They can beat Tampa. Yeah, I mean, why not? For a long time we were asking for meaningful games, and you know, we mocked Jason Botterill for saying meaningful games in March that never came, but we're getting meaningful games. Paul, you and I have sat there on Thanksgiving week at the arena talking about them being, me asking you, are they already out of it? Are they already out of it? And you're like, well, they got to pass six teams before we can even have this discussion. And, you know, eventually it never happened. So this year, at least, our discussion will be better.
Too many times we've had that. And it's the teams, like if you're the Ottawa Senators right now, you are 4 points out of a playoff spot. That's pretty good. You got to be pretty happy about that. You're only 4 points out of a playoff spot. But to get there, you got to get past Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Detroit, Columbus, the Islanders, the Bruins, and the Sabres. 4 points doesn't sound bad.
No,
but are all those
anymore.
Teams are all those teams going to go in the tank for you? From the playoff spot to the last place team in the conference, it's Montreal, 16 points. Montreal is in last place and only 5 points out of a playoff spot. That's how bunched it is right now. You know, Buffalo 21, Boston 21, the Islanders 19. But the Islanders have those five loser points. The Bruins have three loser points. The Penguins have four loser points. Of all these teams in the race, only one team, the Ottawa Senators, has one loser point along with the Sabres. Now, the Sabres got 2 points in overtime today. They didn't want the loser point. They wanted to get 2 points, and they got it. But the thing is, they had the loser point clinched. All right, you go. Now you can play overtime a little bit differently, especially against a Western Conference team. If you're playing the Boston Bruins, you got to make sure you don't want to give them the extra point because, you know, you want to get it so you can tie the Boston Bruins and actually go ahead of them. So, you know, playing a Western Conference team like Buffalo did, it was a wide-open overtime because neither team cared if the other team got the other point. Let's go for it. And it made for an interesting overtime.
For sure. Gosh, you mentioned the Islanders, Paul, have five loser points already. The Sabres only had six in 82 games last year.
And how many did the Islanders have? Didn't they have a bunch last year, too? Do you have those standings up?
Yes, I do. They had 16 loser points to lead the entire conference.
And
that.
Buffalo
That's
had
crazy.
How many?
Six.
Six.
That's 10 more.
Go.
Yep. And the Islanders made the playoffs. Look at this. The Islanders were in the playoffs with 94 points. The Sabres had 84 points, a difference of 10. Look at the loser points, 16-6 right there. There's the 10 points.
Yeah. If you flip that, you flip the standings. That's how it's goofy. Loser points are goofy. I mean, honestly, you look at it, Buffalo isn't 525. They're actually 500. They've lost 10 games. They've won 10. They've lost 9 and one overtime overtime loss. Well, in reality, they're 10 and 10. But in the NHL, your points percentage is 525. Now, you being a math teacher, that doesn't make sense to you. But
no.
That's the math of the National Hockey League.
For sure. Yes, and how one game can be worth 2 points in total and other games can be worth 3 points in total. It makes no sense.
Were you one of the people that want regulation wins worth 3 points?
I think I do. Yeah.
I didn't know why you were one of the people pounding the table for that.
Yeah, I mean, why should tonight's game be worth more to the league than the game the other night against LA? Are we saying that this game has more value? There were 3 points up for grabs tonight. The LA game, there was only 2 points up for grabs.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem right.
Compute.
Now, I know, Paul, you weren't necessarily a fan of how the Sabres ended that overtime game the last time the Sabres were at home, where they essentially just milked the clock for a straight minute.
I totally understood it.
But that would not happen in the 3-2-1 system.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd try to go get that three, right.
And I just wanted to have the discussion. I actually had it with you and with Sal the next day, kind of playing devil's advocate. You know, you can go to overtime and have a full 2 minutes of 4-on-3 with more ice to get the 4-on-3, which worked. Buffalo did score the overtime goal. Or you can take 58 seconds, and Mike Heim, who is one of the minor officials, said the referee's arm went up with 58 seconds left in regulation, and Buffalo basically went into the four corners, if folks are listening didn't realize what they did, to get it to overtime. That's 58 seconds where you could have had a 6-on-5 power play. So if you play it all out and don't score, you would have 2 minutes and 58 seconds of power play time if you did it that way. But the negative is also if for the other team touches the puck, now that 6-on-5 becomes a 5-on-4. You're not getting the full 2 minutes of 4-on-3. And Lindy Ruff knew exactly what he wanted. He said he was yelling over the boards right away to his team to just take it back. And he goes, "You're playing a Western Conference team, so they're fine with it because you basically clinched their point for them." So you go back in the four corners, you've clinched the point for the Western Conference team. They're going, "All right, we'll take that. We'll take our point. Go on, go back. We're not going to pressure you." So it just kind of worked out. But you knew if you went back there, you weren't going to get pressured.
That's right. All right, Paul. Well, that was an exciting ending for sure. And we'll chat tomorrow at 7 with our Steve Foley Law pregame. And then we got the Sabres and the Sharks at 8 o'clock. Thanks so much. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, folks.
Actually, I'm sorry.
We'll talk tonight, I guess. Yeah, you'll get to bed a little bit earlier instead of these 10 o'clock, 10:30 games. It's going to be a 5 o'clock local time game, which makes it 8 o'clock here, which means you won't have to stay up until 1 in the morning where we're at right now.
That's right. Paul, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you for the game tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
Yes, thank you. And yes, I know tomorrow is officially today, so don't send me that tweet. Yes, I know it's 1 a.m. It's Saturday. Sabres getting it done. Yuri Kulik. I mentioned, though, we also could see Tage Thompson tomorrow. He, as far as what Lindy Ruff said, they hope to have him tomorrow. That was his quote today. The injury report brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph Campus. Go with Joes. All right, before we leave you here, let's get the scores from the other NHL games. It's brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. There was only one other game. Winnipeg won in Pittsburgh by a score of 4-0. There is a lot of afternoon hockey tomorrow. 3 games in the afternoon. Chicago at Philadelphia, Minnesota at Calgary, Seattle's at Los Angeles, and then a very, very heavy night schedule. We mentioned the Sabres could pass Tampa with a win tomorrow. If Tampa doesn't get any points, they will host Dallas tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We'll obviously be following that during our Steve Foley Law pregame, which will get going at 7. And that'll put a wrap on our postgame show for tonight. Appreciate you staying up late with us. Want to thank our crew Our network producer, Evan DePasquale. Thank you, Evan, for your work tonight. Kyle Powell on our social media. Check out his game story, WGR550.com. Tom Maddy is our engineer. Paul Hamilton is our reporter. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. The final from the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. The overtime win, Sabres 3, Ducks 2. Yuri Kulik's goal with 1 minute to go in the overtime is the game winner. We will talk to you Saturdays, 7 o'clock, pregame, 8 o'clock puck drop with the Sabres and the Sharks right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.